Radio Namaste is brought to you by your host, the blue collar goddess, Sarah Nash, and a small crew of guest personalities determined to amuse, entertain, and occasionally astonish you. And now, Radio Namaste, a different brand of enlightenment streaming live across this galaxy and probably a few more.
Listening to the Blue Collar Goddess Sarah Nash on the Om Times Radio Network and tuning into a very different brand of enlightenment. By the way, the first one to hit me up on our Twitter at Radio Namaste, that's with an H, with the hashtag Blue Collar Goddess, gets the opportunity to be in the drawing for a free 1 hour Skype session. I'm going to put all those love notes into a hat and Zen Master Ted will snag one out. Motorized Millie will announce the winner at the end of each month when she joins me as my guest host. By the way, if you are listening in live on the most advanced mobile player on the planet, you already know that you don't have to download an app to get live streaming access to this conscious community called Om Times Radio. Hey, you'll want to check out the archives for past shows at the Om Times Podbean portal or on Namaste, that's with an H, .com in the show archive section. Zen Master Ted will give you a tweet about that in a minute or two, so star that and make it a favorite for easy access later. Today's show is going to be a bit different than previous shows because I'm going to admit publicly for the first time that I thought I had, you know, most spiritual consciousness, enlightenment, whatever, elements of this thing that we seekers and mystics tend to gather around the campfire and, you know, chat to each other about and glow about. It's really one of the reasons that I determined that I was actually qualified enough to interview my fellow roommates here on planet Earth and actually have a reason to broadcast. So that was my first mistake, and I feel a wee bit hypocritical. Oh, by the way, I've been watching the series Monarch of the Glen on Netflix, and I was picking up a Scottish brogue for fun. And so when I was visiting my daughter last week in Seattle, I walked into a Starbucks, and I pulled off a nearly perfect act when I ordered my coffee with a wee scan, and then I asked where I could smoke. I mean, I wasn't sure what I was going to do if anyone present was actually from Scotland, and I figured that I'd tell the truth if I was cornered into where I was from or how long I'd been here, and did I know the McTavish clan out by somewhere else in Loch? Anyways, what I learned was that Americans treat foreigners with a lot of politeness and actually joyful interest. And they're much nicer to foreigners than the way we treat each other. And it was kind of an eye-opening experience. And I'm going to have to write an article about authenticity for Om Times really soon. But I don't want to waste really a whole lot more time talking about being genuine, because I have someone here who is truly genuine. Chrism is a gentle reminder to me that just when I think I had, everything dialed in, I don't. So please, please join me in a warm welcome. Chrism, hello.
Hello, hello. Nice to be here with you. Your goddessness. How did you pronounce that again? the blue goddess?
No, the blue collar goddess.
Blue collar goddess,
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for your kind welcome upon your program.
Well, I'm just overjoyed to have you here. When I was told that you were going to be doing your seminar at Manresa Castle, I used to do an evening presentation there on Wednesdays for people who were interested in extrasensory, supernatural, paranormal phenomena, and we're not really comfortable talking about it with other people. So it was sort of like it started becoming one of those, hi, my name is Sarah, I haven't seen a ghost in 10 minutes. It felt like a supernatural recovery group, because people started really just feeling comfortable talking about their experiences. And I have to tell you, I have always been very, very wary of this thing called Kundalini.
That's a wise precaution.
And when I started doing the checklist yesterday, actually, I decided to go through and really just kind of immerse myself into this, because essentially I had this preconceived notion that Kundalini was for very, very, very high vibration vegans who live on top of mountains and who only speak once every 10 years or something. I just felt that it was very esoteric, very hard to attain, and not for the average human.
Well, not not completely in the regards of being so separate from humanity, since everybody has the Kundalini within them. It is just a matter of refinement and allowing the self to become in tune with the inner divine that is, you know, basically resting at the base of the spine, waiting for that person to acknowledge it.
So one more time, everyone has Kundalini.
Everyone, every person that has a spine has the Kundalini at the base of that spine. In most people, it is dormant. It's a dormant force of divinity that's somewhat driving us. It drives our ego infatuation. It drives our understandings of self. It drives us towards the type of job that we'll have or the interests that we'll have. And in conjunction with karmic gifts, i.e., you know, your karmic debts or your karmic gifts that are coming to you in this life, in conjunction with the karma, it will begin to select and to prepare the individual for what level of spiritual attainment they can have in this lifetime. It will follow patterns of probabilities. These probabilities will be controlled by an individual choice that the person has.
Such as what? I mean, individual choice. I'm asking because, and I'm just going to be very, very, it's going to sound arrogant and egotistical and what have you, but I felt that I had traveled this path of spirituality for most of my life, and I have studied and done this and done that, and by that I mean I felt that I was pretty darn unique in that I'm a recovering Catholic Mormon Buddhist. And you know, I have I spent my life in college, and you know, I have a degree in theology and spirituality, and I've hung out with, you know, great and powerful people. Oh, by the way, my husband, also Zen Master Ted, he came into my office this morning. He said, by the way, Chrism gets a big thumbs up from me. I went, ooh, why? He said, 'cause his name is Chrism. I'm like, yes, it is. He's like, no, it's Chrism. It's just, that's who he is. It's Chris M. And there's no, you know, ooh, what did he say? Something about, I don't know. What'd you say, Zen Master Ted?
Rainbow Bear Starburst.
Yeah. Rainbow Bear Starburst. The Zen, you know, whatever he said, he's just who he is. That's all that. And I went, ah, there you go. Again, another sign of authenticity.
Well, thank you, Zen Master Ted. Thank you for I'm not quite clear on something about rainbows, but I appreciate any kind of rainbow association I'm good with.
Well, exactly. But no, it's people give themselves names. They will name themselves based on sometimes, and which isn't to say that isn't correct or true or what have you. I mean, one of the most beautiful women I know is Archancient, and she was given this name, and I understand that, but you are who you are. You are Chrism, and it's Chris M, and there was no sense of, you know, I'm now, you know,
some people suggested Chrism Ananda, and I just thought that was a little, because I'm not Hindu and I don't practice Sanatana or any of those types of belief structures. I just have Kundalini, and Kundalini has basically replaced any and all religious ideologies that I would have. Like you mentioned in that bio that you were giving me, as far as your studies and the accomplishments, which I want to compliment you for those. But once Kundalini comes into the system, it replaces everything. Everything that we thought we knew about ourselves and we thought we knew about our world is changed, is transformed, and it brings a great level of, you know, I don't enjoy using physical vectors for expression, but in this case, I will. It brings in a level of higher understandings.
That's terrifying.
It is. And the one thing that you really want to look at with regards to Kundalini is your fear of falling or your fear of flying.
I have both.
Because falling is just flying. That's what it is. And the Kundalini will lift you on its wings, literally, lift you on wings, and you will become educated in what it is to fly in a multi-dimensional format. So this doesn't mean that you turn into a 747, but you can. The possibilities are endless with Kundalini. It depends on how far you can choose within patterns of probabilities that will take you into the Kundalini enlightenment. And this is, let's not make any mistake about it. Kundalini is the doorway. It is the path into an enlightenment equation upon a human being.
And everyone has the Kundalini within them. So if they're called to do it and to study it, which suddenly I am. I'm truly looking forward to this seminar with you. I had no intention of attending the seminar, even though I'm hosting one of your evenings, until our very end of our conversation and our pre-interview yesterday when we finally connected and we talked about the show. You said, by the way, and as I was leaving, you said, by the way, I have something for you. And I went, okay, great. And you gifted me with this sensation and this vibration that was Now, remember, you know, I have dealt with a lot of people who say they can do a lot of things. And, you know, there's this, you know, do they believe it so much then that you almost have to honor it. But you very simply just sent me a piece of energy that sealed the deal for me, because I felt it in a way that I told my husband. I said, it felt like carbonation up my back. It was like not prickles, not, you know, chills. It was like a carbonation just directly at my spine. And then I felt something akin to like dove wings.
Yeah. Well, if I look at your Radio Namaste logo, and you know, that is far more accurate than you and others may believe. I mean, that is that logo of that person with wings. I mean, that is the real deal. The carbonation in your spine was definitely a gift of grace, a gift of the Kundalini in me into you.
And we're going to go to a break. I hate to cut you off, but we're going to go to a break in just a second, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
Lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings, explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business. And share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Hi, I'm Katrina Kavanagh, host of the I Am Wisdom radio show. I Am Wisdom is about the connection between mind work and energy work, spirituality, and living a wonderful life. Looking forward to sharing each Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with you.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on OM Times Radio.
And we're back. We're talking with Chrism, who teaches Kundalini. By the way, where can we find you out on the World Wide Web? We're tweeting, you know, links and things like that. But is there a specific place online? Because I'm looking at this over here, and it looks like it's Kundalini. What is that, Zen Master Ted?
Looks like kundaliniawakeningsystems1.com.
Okay, well, that's a little bit too long, but let's talk about videos and books and things like that, Chrism.
Videos, you can reach me at chrism.kundalini on the YouTube network.
Nice.
And then on Facebook, we have, Chris Mitchell, which is part of the Chrism scenario. And that is on Facebook, and you can reach me at that homepage there, as well as our many communities on Facebook. We have Kundalini Awakening exclamation point, Kundalini Awakening Systems 2, Kundalini Awakening Systems 3, Kundalini Healing. We also have Kundalini Awakening Systems 1 at the Yahoo Groups Network, as well as Kundalini Healing. And we have a book that is coming up on Amazon.com, and that is shortly to be released. I'm not sure if Julia has it out yet, but I think it's coming out, and we'll be following that with 13 more books. We have a lot of information to give this world about Kundalini Awakening.
And I think you're the person to do it, because you're not frightening. You're not egotistical. You're so gentle. Looking at you put me at peace immediately. And I have to tell you, when I watched your video, I chose to watch a 5-minute video of you in Sedona. And I thought, this guy has a voice that people like me will listen to. It's not that I don't have respect and honor for those gurus and masters but you are reachable, you're tangible, you're real, and you're not, you're so humble too, by the way, I have to say, and it's not fake at all. It's like, you don't pretend to be humble. You really are.
I'm not quite sure what to say to that, except
see?
Thank you for your kind consideration.
Yeah. It's just, you're such a surprise. And my sense of wonder and awe is kind of unusual for me. I'm almost in awe of my awe, because I have had the opportunity to be with some really incredible people. And oddly enough, one of the people who is also very, well, he's passed now, Grandfather Tlacolel. When I met him in New Mexico at the Labyrinth Society gathering every year, and I want to talk to you about labyrinths in just a second, because you had when I told Zen Master Ted about your vision that you told me about the three-dimensional labyrinth with the spiral, I was like, oh. But Grandfather allowed me to sit at his feet, and he didn't care. It was like, he was just this really cool guy. And then he let me carry some fire. And I was like, what? These people who are sincere and unique and you're okay. You know what? I'm gushing. I'm glowing. Let's talk about Kundalini and labyrinths.
All right. Okay. Well, what I gave to you was a three-dimensional understanding of how the Kundalini, at least the Kundalini that is flowing within me, sees a labyrinth. You can use, let's just use the labyrinth at Chat, which is also, it's spelled Chatres, in Chat, France. What one does is one walks the labyrinth as if one is looking down a person's spine. And the labyrinth is that serpentine structure within the spine that spirals upward and upwards and upwards and upwards until it reaches the top of the spine, i.e. the crown chakra. And there, within that crown chakra, is where God realization begins. And that's the short version of this type of an understanding of the Chat labyrinth and how it can be applied or perceived within a spinal scenario.
I have to admit that I've walked several different labyrinths, and this particular, they have a medieval labyrinth, and then they have the different types of, that particular labyrinth design is the one that I have in my backyard that called to me to build it there. I hope you have a chance to walk it. I really do when you're here. But
The Shot Labyrinth dates back to around the 8th or the 9th century, and it was a holy area even before the Romans came into that area of France. Back into the Merovingian times, that area where the Shot Cathedral is built, well, that labyrinth was there. And so it goes far beyond what we understand as a method of coming into enlightenment. If you look at the Merovingian kings, they were also referred to as the witch kings.
Mm-hmm.
And they grew their hair very, very long, almost down to their feet. And if you look at one of them was King Childeric. And his tomb was excavated, and they brought out about 36 golden honeybees. And the honeybees and the long hair and the special powers attributed to these people speaks very clearly of Kundalini phenomena occurring in that region of France, you know, in and around the Shot area and other areas of France as well. And so when you're walking the Shot Labyrinth, there's a very, very, very strong Kundalini signature upon that particular labyrinth.
I can only imagine. The only true giant labyrinth that I've walked in a cathedral setting, in a sacred setting, besides, you know, Shasta and what have you, was the labyrinth at Grace Cathedral in San Francisco. It was the first labyrinth I walked. Yeah. And my journey to the center was a phenomenal beginning for a spiritual awakening and awareness, even on that element of my path. But I didn't want to leave the center. And it's one of my go-to statements now. It's like, you can get to the center, but you can't stay there, and you have to find your way out. But you always get to go back.
Yeah, you can go back.
So with regard to Kundalini, can you give me like just an elevator speech that I can give to just somebody who would like not be – if you started talking to me a week ago about Kundalini, I would have went, whatever, it's not for me. Silly.
Well, I can give you a soundbite. The typical soundbite I give people with regards to the Kundalini is this. It is the divine at the base of your spine.
Okay, it's
the divine at the base of the spine. Now, if you're looking for an exophysiological representation of Kundalini, all you need to do is look at a doctor's caduceus. This is the staff with the intertwining serpents and the wings that almost every MD will be given as a pin to wear, or a stitching to wear on their lab jacket, or you know, wherever they wish to wear it. The caduceus is a representation of Kundalini awakening. The medical field, you know, they've placed another meaning upon it, but the original meaning was that staff that those snakes are circling around is the spine. The snakes are the conduits of Kundalini that intertwine around chakras and that meet at the top of each nostril, the right nostril and the left nostril, leading to channels that go straight up into the crown chakra. The wings that are represented on the caduceus are basically a representation of the human spirit taking flight, which is what occurs when Kundalini awakening or activation happens upon a person.
What about Kundalini awakening without knowledge of Kundalini?
Yeah, that can be very, very surprising for an individual. And it karmically, it happens quite a bit these days. So for instance, let's just use one of my students had an accident while he was skiing, and he fractured his spine on impacting a tree coming down a slope, I believe, in one of the Colorado ski areas. Didn't have any idea about Kundalini, but he immediately felt a warmth cover his body and reduce the pain amazingly so. But ever after he had Kundalini, and it put him on a great spiritual journey, a great spiritual search to find out what this energy was that was coursing through him, this conscious force,
mm-hmm.
this force of a divine caliber, of a divine expression coming through him and speaking through him and talking to him.
Yeah.
And this is what happens to people. And unfortunately, here in the West, in the Western technological societies, if a person goes to their psychotherapist or their psychoanalyst or their MD, they're going to be put into the classification of schizophrenic or bipolar because of the phenomena that accompanies a Kundalini awakening. And it does not have to be this way. First of all, you know, the MDs themselves need to branch out into their awareness of what Kundalini is. And they need to learn that it is not an illness. It is a gift upon humanity. And as they are able to do that, they're able to give solid, non-chemical solutions to their patients that come in with what they're terming now in their terminal. They call it a spiritual emergency. And they typically, you know, they administer drugs to suppress it. And that suppression causes real damage to an individual. And if the doctors don't know any better, because they're not trained about this in medical school, and they don't even recognize the Kundalini as an actual phenomena. And of course, you know, when you Google Kundalini syndrome on the web, well, you see all kinds of how that Kundalini is an actual phenomenon. Now, when it comes into a person that isn't aware of it, depending on their levels of susceptibility to the effects of fear, will determine how difficult that part of the journey will be. You know, there are amazing levels of phenomena, telepathy, telekinetics. You know, these are some of the common gifts that can accompany a Kundalini awakening, whether the person knows it or not. And just seeing a discarnate entity can crumble your reality.
Oh, absolutely. You absolutely. Know? I often tell people if they could sit for a minute in me, it would blow their minds. We'll be right back.
Conscious like media music. For conscious minds. Om Times.
Hi, my name is Monica, and I'm the host of Co-Creating Now. Give yourself an opportunity to connect with your all-knowing higher self and manifest joy, love, and peace together every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Okay, we were back. We were talking about ascension symptoms. I want to tell people something that the woman who's facilitating your seminar here in Port Townsend, Chrism, she came to, we kept passing each other like two ships in the night again and again and again. And people would tell her, you know, you need to talk to Sarah Nash. And when she and I finally had the opportunity to connect, I gave her my story. And I had this really incredible incident, which I call the beginning of this new spiritual path that I was on. In February of 2010, I was with Zen Master Ted and Joshua Tree. And I had an experience as I was, I'd been going through a lot of really difficult physical things with regard to dental issues and family issues and crisis in my family. And as I sat there, this sensation hit me, and I'd been working up to it because I'd been asking a lot of metaphysical questions. It literally, and I have him as a witness, you could not get near me within, say, maybe 5 feet. And it terrified me. I literally thought I was being abducted by aliens. I'll tell you, I as odd as that sounds, and my whole, I began to shake. It was everything I touched would rattle. I mean, I was filled with this electronic energy. It was everything around us became very quiet. Like even the stones on the ground, I got up and I tried to walk and I couldn't. Like my knees crumbled under me, and I was terrified. And suddenly I was hearing things and seeing things. Even at my level of clairvoyance, it was just jacked up like it had been put on steroids. And I looked up at Peter and I said, I don't know what's happening to me, but just please don't leave. Just stay there. And Zen Master Ted, how long did that take? It was about 2 hours.
A couple of hours.
It was a couple of hours that he just had to sit there and kind of babysit me. And when I explained this to Elizabeth, she said, you know, sir, I really wanted to tell you about my experience and what it might have been. And now I know. It's mind blowing. It's I have an answer. I've been seeking an answer since 2010.
What did Elizabeth tell you?
She said that was your Kundalini awakening. She said, when I had mine, I almost had to go. I think she said she went to the hospital. She was so terrified. I don't quote me on that because I'm not certain.
But a lot of people go to the hospital. They go straight to the ER, and the ER people will hook them up, run them through lots of tests, and not find anything wrong. Matter of fact, everything will come out perfect, perfect health. And Kundalini really is about the perfection of your health, the perfection of your soul, the perfection of your mind, and the perfection of your spirit, to the degree that it begins to build a semi-divine body within a mundane physical body.
And that's exactly what I said to Zen Master Ted. I said, I feel like there's somebody brand new inside of me. And in fact, he seemed androgynous, and I say he because to me, I don't know, whatever. I called him Mr. No Angle, and it felt like he was sitting inside of me, healing me. And in order for me to parse it mentally and emotionally, it's like I knew that I wasn't being, what is that word? Oh gosh, words. Here we go again, words. I was not being, it wasn't an entity that had attached itself to me. He belonged there, but he, and I say he, but me, this higher consciousness, it asked my permission to sit inside of me and experience. And to tell this to somebody, they start looking at you, they get that glazed look in their eyes, like, oh God, you're weird.
Hey, I got a question. It says, to kill the radio feed, do you want me to put that on mute when we go on to a break? Is that it?
Well, it's just that if you have, if somebody's listening to the show around you or what have you, it echoes, and it's kind of a feedback loop. It's weird.
If we talk during the breaks, right?
To the best of my knowledge, the radio, it's the microphones are not hot. That's what I've been told. So we can talk back and forth. We can giggle.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So an activation sequence could very well have occurred with you, and which is why you're so open to the gifts that I'm giving to you. The carbonation in your spine, it's basically you're ready for more, and so may your husband be, because you know Kundalini is communicable.
Is it? So it's contagious.
It is contagious. It
is a spiritual contagious disease.
Yeah, well, it's not a disease. It's a blessing. It's a grace. But it is a very strong change in your reality discernment. Things will not be the same. And typically when the Kundalini comes up, it does not ever go down. If you hear someone saying, oh yeah, I did Kundalini last summer. It was great. So what's on TV? You know, that's not the real deal. This is not a person that has had, they may have had a mystical experience or something like that. But once Kundalini is up, it is up forever. It never goes away. And neither does your discernment of this new and beautiful reality. You become, when you start walking the enlightenment path, the doorway that opened that path to you disappears behind you. And you continue to walk that enlightenment path.
Well, and I'm going to confirm that, because I found it easier and easier for me to, and I'm just going to say, I was able to call bullshit on a lot of people.
That's right.
Like, there was this sense inside of me, and I guess some, you know, some religions will call it the gift of the Holy Spirit, that, you know, this element of discernment, again, was brand new to me, because I'm a sucker, man. It's very difficult for me as an empath to sit with a sociopath who actually believes their own lies, because I'm seeing and feeling their truth that they believe. But now, after that experience, I went forward and I felt that I'd been called by God to do something quite important. I just wasn't sure what. So I started researching newer and better people.
You're doing it. You are doing that God-gifted grace upon this world by having this program.
Thank you. Well, I was working as a broker for Bank of America, mind you. Okay. I was, you know, doing the corporate gig. And oddly enough, when I got back to work, in Bank of America, I was fired because, unfortunately, I hadn't filled out my paperwork correctly for my vacation. It was a joke. And it was when everything began crumbling. And let's face it, my bonus checks were bigger than my paycheck, so it was attrition. Nevertheless, I sat there and I was laughing as I drove home that day. And I told Peter, I said, listen, they just fired me. The world's wide open. And it was just like suddenly all these things were falling into place and nothing made sense, but everything made sense. And it led me to this moment where I sat with you yesterday and I kind of looked at you and I went, oh my God, there's this guy who's just, this is the person who has some more of my answers. And I had to set aside all of my preconceived ideas and notions about Kundalini and what it was and the ooh-ah esoteric. And I thought, I could talk to this person. This is a person I need to talk to. And furthermore, I can spread this message too, because this is authentic.
Yeah, this is authentic. There is, you cannot get more authentic than the Kundalini awakening in your body, in your five sense human body. There is nothing more authentic than the divine hand reaching into that body and changing and transforming that body. It won't be the same for everybody, though. This needs to be made clear. Everybody comes into this life with different levels of karma, different levels of tasks that they must accomplish before the Kundalini can come up. And even when the Kundalini comes up, it will grace them with different gifts, and they'll be given different challenges to reach into that divinity and to learn how to forgive and to learn how to practice what we call the safety protocols, which basically comprise different techniques for allowing and embracing Kundalini to occur. And this is what I'll cover at the seminar as well. But you learn to have forgiveness and tolerance and honesty and truth. You learn how to have compassion and love and grace-based understandings when you're interacting with other people. You learn how to bring these levels into an expression, and then the Kundalini rushes in and amplifies those expressions tremendously. An awakened Kundalini person has a radiance field of about a kilometer. It's huge. And it changes people just as they walk through that radiance field, whether the Kundalini person knows them or not.
Well, I've had people tell me too. I mean, I thought it was as a result of finally becoming a Melchizedek priest and being attuned as a Reiki master teacher, and all of these elements and all of these things came together. And I'll tell you, after I had this experience, I could not eat red meat. I could not. It made me physically ill. And we're talking to somebody who is a carnivore extraordinaire. I mean, and it literally became where I would almost vomit. And I thought, this is so bizarre. What I want to know though is about your Kundalini experience. How did you do this? I mean, What happened to you?
Kundalini will follow a person into death. Okay, so it will follow your spiritual presence into the afterlife, and it will stay with you. And as you take another body, if you choose to take another body, you take that other body, you volunteer to go behind the veil of forgetfulness, that body comes with a pre-activated Kundalini expression. So as that happened to me as a child, I was astral projecting as a child. I was breathing underwater as a child. I was doing things that I thought were just natural and everybody could do. I had to be trained not to do these things. I had to be told that you cannot do that. That is not possible. That you stop doing that. Don't even try. And it's, of course, I stopped and I bought into the societal programming that, oh, you know, these are the limitations of the body. Therefore, you know, you don't cross this line. As I went through my life, I learned to disavow the experiences I was having, seeing the entities, you know, clinging to the walls or coming out of the walls. For every night from the age of about 2 to 12 or 13, I was transported to like the Amazon jungle every night. Mm-hmm. You know, be 5 years old and hear a howler monkey and see how that sets with you.
Oh no, you're preaching to the choir, brother. My mother took me to a Catholic priest when I was 9 years old and said she needs an exorcism. Yes, because I would sit there and I would tell her, you know, listen, there's this place that I go to. And when I saw Lost Horizon, the old one, in fact, I went, oh, that's where I go. And I went to my mother and I said, this place, this Shangri-La, this is how the world is supposed to be. These are the nice people. And she just started looking at me like, you're absolutely, oh my God. And then I would sit in front of electronic circuits, you know, the outlets, and I would wait for the little entities to come out so I could talk to them. And we'll talk more about this after the break. And oh my gosh, I can't believe we're almost done. Ooh.
Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, I'm Katrina Kavanagh, host of the I Am Wisdom radio show. I Am Wisdom is about the connection between mind work and energy work, spirituality, and living a wonderful life. Looking forward to sharing each Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with you.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Chrism, so you had these experiences that I'm also familiar with and other people I know of, but I always felt very alone in these people. I'm a rescue medium. I get to talk to the dead. I get to talk to the living. I get to talk to you. it's always been about seeking that kind of consciousness that it's – how am I, the words that I'm trying to come from, the words that I'm trying to get to is that I want people to understand that it isn't as weird as they might presume it to be.
It's the natural expression. It's the natural reality. In many ways, our society programs us into states of denial. Denial of our true self, denial of the inner understandings by replacing it with understandings based in outside of the inner self understandings. And so these can be ways of blinding us or filtering out the truth. But with Kundalini, you don't get to filter out the truth. The truth is automatically downloaded into you. And you are then left with an ego that is reeling by the shock of certain levels of truth that go against what it had understand as reality for almost its entire life. And so, yeah, that takes a level of shall we say, discernment and understanding and personal compassion and deep, deep levels of honesty to be able to incorporate these new truths, these new realities into the individual body. And, you know, even though I came into this world with the Kundalini going strong, the physical being itself must go through a spinal sweep, which is, what you're going to have. Spinal sweeps are when the Kundalini rushes up the spine. A lot of people see it as a freight train going up the spine. And that's an accurate description. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will feel like there's an earthquake happening within them. They'll be looking for the lights to be swinging or the windows to be breaking. And they'll all of a sudden they'll realize, wow, that just happened inside me. And the spinal sweep comes up. And this is the time. This is what every spiritual seeker in the world wants to experience, is that union with divine, with becoming at one with everything. Every level of creation a person becomes at one with, every raindrop, every dust mote, every animal, every creature, every creation of the physical realm, a person becomes at one with through that divine connection. And this is the ultimate experience for an individual.
For me, it felt as though I could sit inside of a leaf and surf the veins.
Yeah.
And that's how I keep going back to this moment where I was looking at a leaf and I realized that there was no difference between me and I went inside of the leaf and I followed all of the veins, and then I went out and into a water molecule and then into a crystal skull and then into a strand of hair and then a tree and a chair and then me. It was I could not even begin to describe to somebody, and there was this blissful sense and for lack of a better word, I called it love. But it didn't matter what this person had done or what
you go into ecstatic awareness, and ecstatic awareness is really beyond the control and beyond the understandings of the ego-based mentality. When I do a seminar, I often get ecstatic bliss coming onto me, and I'm crying, I'm standing there, I'm kind of frozen in place, and I just have to let it pass. And my assistants will, because it will clear your memory, it will clear your mind. It is such a powerful force that you don't know where you are, what you're doing, what you're saying. And they'll let me know during the summer, where was I?
That's beautiful. And that's what is really, truly wonderful is that you have these terrific people around you who honor and treasure and cherish you. Because it seems to me that a lot of people tend to surround themselves. I know for myself, I had to learn, you know, who I could trust and who I couldn't. And my circle got smaller and smaller. There are a lot of people out there who are jealous of you. Yes.
Oh my God. It's so easy to say nasty, bad things about a person on the internet. You know, and I was looking at that, and I'm, you know, looking at some of the bad things that were said about me, and I just, you know, my heart goes out to these teenagers who also experience this, and it affects them so deeply they'll commit suicide because of what some malicious spirit or person has decided to say about them on the internet. Now, I will encourage people not to believe everything they read on the internet. I know that from direct experience. And yes, there's a lot of teachers that are not happy. I get chastised consistently for giving away secrets that have been held and guarded for thousands of years by people that wanted to maintain relevancy through the power of information control. And I just don't care. I don't care. I mean, I decided, you know, my first real strong level of bad press, I think, came in 2012. And I just stopped caring about what people were saying about me. I just decided to go forward with the truth. And I say, let the truth take care of itself. Let the divine take care of itself. For those who can receive, so shall they be given. And for those who cannot receive, they won't receive, no matter what they read or where they choose to believe.
Well, I often tell people, you know, you can find justification for anything. You know, all the food is poison, all the water is poison, all the people are horrible. You know, it's you can find facts to back up anything, you know, with enough research. And that was one of my gigs when I was in high school. I mean, I was the president or the vice president of my forensic team, and I had a full ride scholarship with regard to Lincoln Douglas debate. I learned how to do the pro and the con very, very with
effective.
A lot of exactly. And so I became very skeptical of everyone and everything until I had a personal experience. And now here's the other thing. There are a lot of authentic people out there who are truly authentic healers who are just slimy.
Yes, yes.
And
true.
I'm having a very difficult time trying to wrap my head around people who authentically do heal. I mean, I've had that experience. And in their personal lives, they're just... they lack that integrity. And I'm wondering how it's possible for these people to maintain a sense of impeccable space in today's world. And I think as more and more and more of us are connecting, like you and I, and we strive for authenticity, we strive to be genuine, we strive to be just who we are and nothing else, which is why I call myself the Blue Collar Goddess. You know, I'm not there. I'm just kind of in the middle, and I just want to speak the truth and share the truth through vehicles such as yourself. I am so, so, so pleased that you joined me today. I really am. And I'm delighted, and I'm getting a little choked up. Sorry.
Oh, no. It's a great blessing to be able to connect with you today and yesterday. And really looking forward to seeing you there at Kundalini at the Castle, at Manresa Castle on May 9th and 10th of this year. And really, I think that the levels of grace that you're already sending out into your area and across the world, into the UK. I know you have a great audience in the UK. And
you will be appearing in London at the Consciousness Conference in August.
Correct.
I put a link up on a note on my Facebook page, and that information will be available for people when they, you know, come back and listen to this archive. But
well, I am one day workshop after that, after myself and Greg Braden and other people are speaking there. We'll have a one-day workshop, I believe, 3 to 4 days after that speech. So if people want to actively partake of this information, of this energetic infusion, they should participate in that one-day workshop.
Agreed. I mean, and again, I had no intention I want to apologize because I thought, well, you know, I'm sure this is going to be really awesome, but this is not for me until I went, wow, you sent that energetic signature through the ethers and the airwaves.
Through Skype, no less. I'm happy to find my PC has not broken down yet, but
it is all about energy, frequency, and vibration. And I continuously go back to that. I tell people the universe can be described and explained in energy, frequency, and vibration. I'm going to introduce to my listening audience who I'm going to have on next week, but I am overwhelmed with you, sir. And that does not happen. Zen Master Ted, tell them This does not happen.
This does not happen.
Yeah, I'm super skeptical. I love everyone, but I keep everyone at arm's length, and I just cannot wait to sit with you for 2 days. Wow. Who does that?
It'll be a blessing to meet you as well. Thank you for your kindness, and thank you, Zen Master Ted, for all your excellent updates here.
Blessings to you and namaste, and I cannot wait to see you in the Pacific Northwest at the beginning of May. Next week's guest, also, interestingly enough, is all about labyrinths. David Gallagher is the founder and executive director of the Labyrinth Society. He started walking labyrinths in 1995, and this experience changed his world in life-altering ways. I'm going to be really interested in talking to David because I know him a little bit personally. I'm going to ask him his experiences with regard to Kundalini. He said that when he was walking his labyrinth, it was like the turning of the knob that opened the door. And these words and these synchronistic events that people talk about with regard to